history with God is quite complicated. Like any relationship, it has changed over time. We've had long periods where we haven't talked to one another. We've taken unexpected detours, and we've suffered disappointments. Things became messy. I wonder if God knew what he was getting into when, out of his overflowing love, he decided to create us, humanity, to be in relationship with him. It all began so innocently with daily walks in the garden. But almost immediately, we decided we weren't content with the relationship, that we wanted something more. So we took and we ate, and our eyes were opened, and God's heart was pained. As we often do when we're hurt, God responded emotionally. He sent us out from the garden, changing our trajectory forever, even as he continued to love us and longed for our returning to him. We continued to make a mess of things until God was convinced there was no salvaging us. We're told flat out that God was sorry that he had ever made humankind. But he still wasn't ready to write us off completely. No, he wanted a mulligan, a do-over. He would send a flood to wipe out humanity so that he could start anew. He picked one righteous man in his family through which he would bring about his plan. After the flood, after the desolation, after the blotting out of every living thing, God, it appears, had an epiphany. I will never again curse the ground because of humankind, for the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of flesh that is on the earth. And so God covenants with his creation for the first time. You would think one covenant with God would be all you'd need. But our relationship with God is a history of revised or new and improved covenants. Next was the Abrahamic covenant, where God determined to work through one family to bring about his purposes for the world. God promised Abraham and his descendants land, heirs, and blessing, so that they, as God's people, might be a blessing to the world. This covenant formed the identity of the Hebrew people. But as God's people grew and life became even more complicated, God determined that a more explicit covenant was needed. After bringing his people out of slavery in Egypt, God covenants with them in the wilderness. Through Moses, God gave the Israelites the law. In the Mosaic covenant, God reminds the people of their obligation to be obedient to his law, and the people agree. The law would set the people of God apart from other nations and would be an ever-present reminder of God's claim on and expectation for us. When Israel's history was at its zenith, God again covenants with his people, this time through King David. In the Davidic covenant, God is forward-looking, promising David unconditionally that the Messiah will come from his lineage, and that the tribe of Judah would establish a kingdom that would endure forever. So we see the rich, evolving story of our covenantal history with God. The fact that God regularly tweaks our relational covenant is curious, is it not? It begs the question, did God just keep getting it wrong? Does the evolution of our covenant with God reveal that God just couldn't get a firm grip on who we are, on how our hearts work, on how deeply disobedience and willfulness are seated within us? Or does God show up periodically to make or affirm covenant, chiefly as a means of reminding us that we are his? After all, the power in all of these covenants rests with God. Going all the way back to that first covenant with Noah, God comes to understand the limitations of humanity. In all the ways that God has tried to address this over the years, the covenant itself was unable to keep us within the rails, so to speak. Even being quite clear about what God desired for us was not enough to keep us living within that desire. Our tendency to become our own gods, to make a way for ourselves, to trust in our own ingenuity and work ethic and connections over our identity as God's beloved child, continues to draw us away from God's will for us. From the beginning, we've struggled with honestly being present before God. We hide in the garden to keep from showing our nakedness, our vulnerability. We put on an independent, self-made facade, denying our weaknesses. And because it's impossible to be in God's presence and keep up this pretense, we begin avoiding and hiding from God. In today's reading from Jeremiah, the prophet foretells God's new covenant. This covenant won't be based on promises or secret passwords or pinky swears. It won't be like the old covenants, the one that God's people failed to live into again and again. God likens these prior covenants to a marriage where he has been a patient husband, has been willing to work on the relationship, has been willing to truly hear us and see us and respond by trying new approaches. Regardless of his efforts, we as his wife have been unable to remain faithful to him. God has been hurt and pained by our rejection, by how easily our affections are given to others who do not love and care for us as he does, by our refusal to be satisfied within our covenantal relationship. Over our long relational history, we have struggled to be vulnerable and faithful with God. So now, God will take the ultimate initiative and open himself fully in vulnerability to us. Covenant with God will no longer be grounded in some external agreement and its trappings. It will now be heart to heart. God will place his law within us, within you and within me. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God and they shall be my people. This is not God indulging our indiscretions in his magnanimity. It's not a plan to use future disagreements to remind us of all the ways in which he has forgiven us. No, all the ways that we failed to live into God's will and desire for us, all the times that we've selfishly chosen to prioritize ourselves instead of relationship with God, all of the hurt we've caused to ourselves and others by things done and left undone, all will be forgotten, wiped out. I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. After all the laws, after all the rituals, after all the promises, what seals our covenant with God once for all is love. Love that is wholly from God's side. It is the love embodied in a man whose will was at one with God, who showed us that maintaining an everlasting relationship with God was not about rule keeping or point earning or proper worship or right belief. It was about being in an honest, vulnerable, loving relationship with God. A love that trusted God so completely that he was able to bear the circumstances of his death that we might know God's never-ending, fully reconciled love for us. Jeremiah prophesies all of this. In the new covenant inaugurated and embodied in Jesus, no longer will the people know about God, the right rules, the right answers, the right theology. No, they will know God with all the intimacy that that entails. In this new covenant, we are invited to allow God to lead and shape us from the inside out. Through the gift and power of the Holy Spirit, God dwells within us. He will intimately guide us into his desire for us, assuring us that we are beloved of him forever without condition, and he will never let us go. Amen.